is on. I don't mean this in a negative way, but my uncle has a really big head. So, like, I put this on, it was just... Hold on. Jake, you got the big noggin? All right. I don't know if you're as nervous as I am. I have been praying all week for this body that God would give us clear vision, clear direction in anything that we do. And it's crazy when you come to this situation, you know, the trial or the place of gray that we're in, you start to question yourself, why did we wait till now to do some of the things that we're doing? And there's questions I ask myself. Why am I waiting till now to pray in the way that I've been praying? And I thought, well, now I'm in a situation where I feel like I need to be praying. And then I go back to Scripture and I look at what God has taught us throughout all of His Word, throughout all of the New Testament, when Jesus was on earth, about praying. And I saw how quickly I failed. And I kind of challenged myself. I have a scripture that's been on my heart all week, and I was going to read it from memory, but right now, I told the youth, I was like, just like our Awanas, I'm going to put this on my heart, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to memorize it, and I want to do that, but that's not the focus. The focus is here in God's Word, and so if they'll put that up for me, that very first one, okay, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word that is able to save your souls. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes, goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man that he was. And it says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Some of us who have been a part of this body for the last 20 years have heard the passion and the true word from a man that has loved this body and continues to love this body and has taught us for 20 years. My question to those of you, whether you're a spiritual elder and you've been here, part of this body for a long time, all the way until now, how much doing have we been doing with this great word that's been presented to us, the truth that has been given to us? Because any spiritual leader in any situation, any pastor, all of our pastors up here are spiritual leaders. We do not base the success or the growth of the body on how many people tell us how good we did in the message, how good we preach, how good of a preacher we are. We base it on what the body is doing for the Lord and Jesus Christ that they proclaim that they believe in. So regardless of who's up here, what they speak, how they preach, how majestic it may be, how persuasive it may be, if we go out and we leave here and we are forgetful hearers and we are not doers of the word that is given to us, then as spiritual leaders, we feel that we have failed you. If we are not going out and planting the seed, sharing the gospel, if souls are not being saved, if the body has no vision, no direction, and we are not moving according to the will of God, regardless of how great the worship is, how great the message is, we as leaders feel that we have failed you. And so when I reflect back, when you should reflect back of all the words that you've heard, the message that has been brought, the scripture that you've studied, the praying that you've done, what have we done with it? What have you as an individual done with it? What have husbands done with it with their wives? What have fathers have done with it with their children? What have wives done as helpmates to their spouses? That is the challenge that I've had this week in my prayer life, and this is what we're going to focus on. I'm opening this up in prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you, God, that you've brought to me a place of humility, Lord, that you've called me to a place to seek you in the way that I've come complacent, Lord God, where I've become relaxed, and I've taken my eyes and my focus off of your will, God, and your direction. I've placed it upon me. I've placed it upon where I've wanted to go and what I've wanted to do and what I've wanted to accomplish, God. And I pray that you bring us back. I pray that you bring me and anyone, God, that's in the same place that I've been in, back to your will, back to your direction, back to your word, God, that we see your truth, we hear your truth, Lord, and then we are doers of your truth. God, I pray this morning that every word that's spoken comes from you, God, that your spirit leads, that your spirit guides us, and that we move in the direction, God, that you called us to be, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to share with you. So we all desire to be Christ-like. I want, as a believer, I want to be more like him. I want to have fellowship with Jesus. I want to have communion with Jesus. I want to be able to know that I am moving in his direction. And we study all the different aspects of Jesus' ministry. We look at what he did. We look at the healing power. We look at how he taught. We look at the miracles he did. We focus on all of those things. But I believe one area that we forget to really look at and study when we study Jesus and his life and his ministry here on earth was the manner in which he prayed. I think some of us, if we truly look at it, probably don't know how and when and the significance of when Jesus prayed. So I went to study, and there's a lot of different pastors have preached on this. There's even a whole website that's kind of devoted to this. I want to share something with you. Do y'all have it? Okay. So there's more. Is there a second slide? So there's more. There's three slides. Okay. So I'm not going to read all these, but I'm going to go through this. So Jesus prayed at his baptism. So when Jesus began his ministry, the moment he was baptized, and you know, the Spirit of the Lord sent down like a dove and said, "This is my son who I am well pleased." Okay? It says that Jesus prayed before he ever began his ministry. When you think about you and your life and you begin and you start those things, it started with this. It says, in the morning before he headed to Galilee to preach, it said, oh, my wife hates that I read the scripture to her. It says that he rose way before daylight and prayed before he went and preached all day. Okay? After healing people. Before he chose his 12 disciples, before he chose the leadership of his church body, he prayed all night. Any significant decision that God, all right, he's God. He's the Almighty, he's the All-Knowing. He was God in the flesh, yet he prayed all night before choosing his 12 disciples. He gives thanks to the Father before feeding. Before he walked on water to Peter and them, he prayed all night in the mountains. He said he prayed while healing the deaf and the mute, prayed again before feeding the 4,000, prayed the day that Peter called him. He says, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ. He prayed in that moment. Okay, his transfiguration, when he led the disciples in the Lord's Prayer, he prayed before he raised Lazarus the dead. You're talking about miracles and believing in God's miracle, the songs that we sing this morning, believing in his power. Jesus himself, who had all of God's authority and all of God's power, prayed before many of the miracles that he conducted. He gave it back to the Father. Okay? Asking the Father to glorify his name. He prayed for Peter's faith when Satan asked to sift him. He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for all believers. He prayed for this church body before it ever existed. Think about that. Okay? He prayed before his betrayal. If you even remember the night that he was in the garden, he was praying, asked his disciples to pray with him, and they couldn't even pray even half the time that he was praying. And he was praying for them, knowing what was fixing to happen, and they couldn't even join him in prayer. And if you really think about it, in that moment, who needed to be praying more? God or the ones who needed God? He set the perfect example for us long ago. And it said he prayed for his disciples before he ascended because he knew the journey that they were going to take. And so when I looked at that and I thought, oh my gosh, there are so many scriptures about Jesus praying. And we say we want to be Christ-like, we want to follow after his example. Then one of the greatest ways that we follow after his example is in the manner in which we pray. But yet the American church, most American churches today do not follow the example of prayer. We follow the example of we want the greatest speaker, we want the greatest worship, we want to come, we want to sit, we want to be fed, we want to be fed, we want to be fed. When Jesus set the example of, I'm going to pray, I'm going to rise early and pray, I'm going to continue to pray, I'm going to pray in my every decision. And he was God. And if him, as God in the flesh, prayed as much as he did, shouldn't we as mere mortals pray that much more? Aren't we in a place of needing God's intervention far more than what he did? Think about that, okay? So we're going to look at certain scriptures. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 3, 21 through 22. So some of those scriptures that were just up there on that list, I want to kind of read through them. This is going to be a different morning. I think I have like 20 different scriptures. When I started studying, I bounced from place to place to place, and just God just showing me scripture and showing me scripture and showing me scripture. So we're going to bounce around. So Luke 3, 21 through 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." We, as a church right now, you may be asking the questions. You know, we've been asked this. Erica has been having Bible lessons with, I guess we're the middle-aged group now, so some of the younger ladies, okay, of the church body. And they even asked some of the questions. You know, what should we be doing in this circumstance? How should we be handling this scenario? And one of the things that Eric and I have been discussing, bringing back to it, is prayer. And I look at this scripture right here. It's 2025. It's a new year. It's a different situation. And we want, if we are a true body, if we are truly united as one, we want to move according to God's will. And that starts, first of all, with receiving his implanted word, receiving the truth. But we as a body have to come in unity in prayer. You heard Willie say that Wednesday nights that we're going to join in class. Here's the reality of that. Wednesday nights, there's only about a third of this group here. You have to be real. And I know the answer can be, I'm busy, I'm this, I'm that, I've got all these things going on. I don't necessarily have that time to be there. My question to you is, when you think about that, how important is that relationship to you? Okay? You take any marriage, okay? There we go. All right. You take Travis and Hillary, and you let Travis and Hillary go weeks and weeks and weeks, and the only communication they have is maybe 5 minutes a day, 30 minutes on Sunday when one of them has a problem and they need the other one to fix it. It ain't going to be long. That relationship is going to start to have serious problems. That relationship is going to start to have struggles. And they could justify it. Travis could say, "Well, I got to do this. I got to take care of this. I'm a provider. I've got all these things I've got to get done. I really don't have time to sit around and just talk and communicate with you and hear you about your day." It's only a matter of time before that relationship begins to separate. The same way with our walk with the Lord. How can I say I love God? That I live to honor him and serve him, and I want to be about him, but yet I never communicate with him. I did an example with the youth. Blake, come, like, Erica always hates when I do stuff like that. She's like, "Don't bring people up. People stare at them awkwardly, okay?" You as a believer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? So here's the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't let this go to your head, all right? All right? So here's the Holy Spirit. If people could visually see the Holy Spirit in your life, and you see that the Spirit never leaves you, never leave me, okay? All right, here we go. I never leave you or forsake you. But yet I go on about my day and I never pray. I never have that communication. I never talk to him. And then something goes on and the Holy Spirit tries to speak to me. No, tries to give me truth. I got this. I don't need you. And then I go on the rest of my day. Situations are happening in my life. He's trying to tell me, "Hey, I really think you need to do it. I got this. I don't need you." Then all of a sudden I face struggles in my life. And I don't know what's going on, and I immediately turn and go, "How could you let this happen?" And I want then I want to have that communication. I've been ignoring. I haven't been praying. I haven't been seeking a direction. Every time he's tried to give me warning and try to guide me back to his word, I've ignored it. And then all of a sudden, I'm in this situation, and I'm going to turn back to him and go, "How could you let this happen?" Or we get to the point where we're completely broken, and we're going, "I know that I haven't prayed like I want to. I know I haven't been faithful. I know I haven't spoken to you, but I need you now." In any situation, that's not a functioning relationship. Maintaining that relationship comes through prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can go there. Okay? And that's the thing that I've learned about Jesus. Even as God in the flesh, he had consistent and continual communication with the Father, with the Lord. In everything that he did, he prayed. He prayed first. He prayed often. He even would pray after. He gave the glory back to God. Okay? Turn to Mark 1, 35 through 39. Oh, this one's for Erica. This one is for my wife. I need her to read this and understand it and apply it. Okay? Okay? All right? A lot of us need to see this. A lot of us, especially men, we make the excuse of we don't have time, okay? We hit the ground running, we got to go to work, we got things to take care of, all this stuff. moms can be the same way. I got to get the kids up. I got the kids dressed. I got the kids here. I get things going. I just don't have that time to myself. Or my kids are crazy. And they won't leave me alone. They won't give me time to pray. All of these things. Let's read this, okay? This is Jesus. This is the one that you want to be like. You want to be Christ-like? You want to be like Jesus? Let's see what Jesus did. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He knew what was coming. He knew what was in for his day. He knew what the day had for him. And before he ever took that first step in starting that day, he went and found a place of solitude and he prayed. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, casting out demons. Us as spiritual leaders, those are here that teach, that preach, in anything that we do, we better pray before we teach. I better pray before I stand before his people. Willie better pray before he teaches his classes. David better pray before he teaches his classes. Craig better pray before he teaches his classes. Hillary better pray before she teaches her classes. Because we are standing before you and giving you the implanted word, the truth, so that you can hear it, you can receive it, and you can go and be doers of that truth. Jesus was going to preach, to plant seeds, to tell people about the power of God that's within him. And before he ever preached his first word, he found a place alone, focused on God, and he prayed. I will always encourage you to do that thing. And here's the deal. You can go, "Well, I've got to find a schedule. I've got to find a routine. I've got to find a way to work it into my day." I think it's Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will come to pass." That is what we are called to do. Seek first the kingdom. When you wake up in the mornings, the first thing that you should want to do is pray. Have communication with the one you love. I hope that husbands don't get up and leave their wives without at least telling them good morning. At least having that communication with them. I believe it's that much more important that you wake up and you communicate with your Lord and Father above. You communicate with Jesus, that you pray to him. My wife has a sign that she put by her back door, and I have failed so many times. I can't remember it right now. I think it says, "Give me a kiss, tell me goodbye, don't forget your keys," or something like that. But it's a reminder, because so many times I can be so focused on me, I can be so focused on what I've got to get done and all the things that I got to do, that I'll get up, I'll get dressed, and I'll hit that door as fast as I can, and I completely forget about the people that's in that house that I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for their spiritual well-being. I'm responsible for their salvation. Those two girls that I have, it is my responsibility as the father, as the man, to teach them, to show them, and to show the love of Christ and to lead them to Jesus. That doesn't belong to this church body. That doesn't belong to this children's ministry. It doesn't belong to anyone. That belongs to me. I carry that purpose as a father. Men, if you're neglecting that, if you're putting that responsibility on someone else, you are failing. I guess I do. You're failing. That is your responsibility. I do not care what job you have. I do not care how much money you make. You neglect your children for something else. You neglect their souls and their salvation. Don't be surprised when they become adults and you don't understand, why is this happening? Why are they going this direction? Because you were so focused on everything else when they were children, you failed to raise them according to God's purpose and will for your life. You failed as a father. That's biblical. You have to remember that, men. You carry that responsibility, okay? And so he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he went and preached. And it goes to show you how much we need prayer before we start a day. A lot of us, we may be in situations where we face a lot of adversity. How much easier would it be to be able to stand for God's word and stand for truth if we prayed before we walked into those situations? I know that I've been in situations in my life that I have handled in a completely wrong way. And when I go back and I reflect on it, I didn't have a very good prayer life before I walked into that scenario. And my flesh took over, and my personal thoughts and Randall Reeves got in the way and got in the middle of it, and I messed it up. And I have broken things. I have broken bonds. I have had strained relationships because I was not faithful in praying and preparing for that moment. Instead, I walked in thinking I could handle it on my own, and I wrecked it. I wrecked it greatly. And that's something that I have to live with. And it's a lesson, it's a teaching tool for me. Husbands, fathers, any time from here forward, any time as you're leading your family, lead them in prayer. Show them what it means. It doesn't make you weak. Being on your knees praying doesn't make you weak. It doesn't show you that you're a weak man. It shows you that you truly believe in what we're here doing. You truly believe in the relationship that you have, and you are teaching them what it means to truly be Christ-like. Okay? Flip over. Luke 5:16. So, I don't think I put all the scripture here. So, in this situation, there's more scripture that I should have added to this one. So, Jesus, in this moment, spent all day serving people. I don't know if you've noticed in Jesus' ministry, Jesus was always moving. Jesus was always going. Jesus was always working. He would get up, and from daylight till dark, he would serve, he would minister, and he would heal. This is one of those days. He had a long day of serving people, of healing, and performing miracles. And people just kept coming. They just kept coming. Feed me, help me, heal me, show me, do all of these things for me. And he did. And at the end of it, after a long day, he was tired. He was exhausted. Some of us can relate to whether it's a long day of work or the other day Erica was out there digging in dirt, getting ready to put down some patio stones. And when she got up, was hurting. Even after a day like that, Jesus took time to withdraw into the wilderness and pray. And I go, what was he doing? First of all, he's probably giving thanks for what God had accomplished that day. How many of us, after a long day of being involved in our work, our activities as a family, maybe it's ministry, remembers at the end of the day to go back and give thanks for what God had done that day? Go back and give thanks to the Father who was your provider, who gave you that opportunity to go and work, who gave you that opportunity to go and be a part of the ministry. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you had a long day. Maybe you had a rough day. Instead of coming home and getting caught up in griping and complaining and self-pity, you took time to separate yourself and pray. Give thanks in that situation. Seek direction. I think a lot of times we get to the place where we suffer and we go through the trials that we're going through. Instead of coming back and going in and finding that place of prayer, we just go, I just got to do that much more tomorrow. I just got to work that much harder tomorrow. I just got to do something different tomorrow and it'll be okay. And God's just going, how about you just talk to me? How about you just have fellowship with me? Let me show you my will for you in this situation. Let me show you how I can guide you. Let me show you how I can help you in this moment. And we tell the Holy Spirit, no, I've got this. I'll figure it out. Jesus took time early in the morning. He took time late in the evening. If you look at the pattern here, what did Jesus do? Jesus was consistently praying. When you read in scripture and it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, pray without ceasing. This is what he's talking about. He prayed throughout his day, throughout his walk. As they were going, as they were traveling, he was always praying and communicating because he had a real relationship. When you look at your life, how does it compare to what Jesus, the example Jesus has set before us? Okay? Then you flip over. Luke 6:12-13. I believe that this is where we are as a church right now. Now, we've got to be honest about this. We've got to be able to talk about this, okay? So Big Randall, okay, our pastor has taken what we call a 3-month leave, and he is seeking God and seeking God's direction for him as an individual and for his family. And he's also praying for the will and direction of this church. You can allow your personal feelings to get in the way. You can allow your personal feelings to change and manipulate your thoughts. But here's the deal. In this moment as a church body, we need to be praying for our leadership. We need to be praying that our deacons, that our elders, that our pastors are doing what they're called to do. They're called to pray in these moments. They're called to pray continuously. And when you look in Scripture, it says, you know, when they originally appointed the seven deacons, it said, let's assign them these activities so that we can focus on the word, the preaching, and prayer. Pray for your leaders, pray for your body, and pray for this direction. Okay, let me read this to you. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he would also name his apostles. This church body is in a place where we need to be praying faithfully and consistently. And I don't mean, no, let's all gather, circle up, and let's pray for 5 minutes and then wait 3 months and see what happens. That's not what God has called us to do. You as an individual should be praying. You as a marriage should be praying. Us as a church body should be praying. I am going to devote myself to prayer each and every morning, each and every day. Me and my wife are going to come together as a married couple and pray. I am going to bring my children in as a family, and we are going to pray. And then I'm going to unite with you as a church body because we are called to come together as one, and we are going to pray together. Amen. I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't tell me you're too busy. Don't tell me you don't have time. Don't tell me you don't know what. God's word speaks truth. Men, lead in prayer. Women, join. Wives, join them. If you're a single individual, continue to search in prayer. Pray, pray, pray. That is what we are called to do in this moment, okay? Then, this is scripture I'm going to kind of end in for saying. Go to John 17:14. I told you that Jesus originally prayed for the church, okay? He prayed for the first church, his disciples, and then he prayed for future believers. We are that answered prayer, okay? I want you to think about this, okay? Erica's mom, my mother-in-law, love her to death. Hope she doesn't watch this, okay? She is always speaking truth into us, okay? I'll tell you what I've learned from my mother-in-law. A church body should grow in this. So we have, I'm not going to say old, we have elderly women in this church, okay? You are called to minister and to share the truths of life that you have with the generation below you. And that generation should be sharing wisdom with the generation below them. You want to see a church body truly function? It shouldn't all be all the answers, all the help, and all the encouragement, and all the counseling going through one man and one wife. That responsibility does not fall on simply the pastor and the pastor's wife. If a church body who has been hearing the word and they are actually doers, the church body should be able to minister and serve the body itself because that's how it's designed to operate. We should have a group of women, elderly women, with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding, with the experience, and you should be investing in the generation below you. And that generation should be turning and feeding in the generation below them. And if the body is doing that, you don't need to always go just to the pastor. You can go to somebody that's in your body that you've served with, that you've prayed with, that you've studied God's word with, and they can share the same truth that a pastor and a pastor's wife can share. That's right. Tanya Williams should not be the only one that knows the biblical truth to be able to minister you. Amen. Lane Culver should not be the only woman that has the biblical truth to be able to speak to you. Donna Reeves should not be the only woman that can counsel you and give you the truth that you need to hear. If we are a united body of saved believers who has truly been hearing God's truth for the last 20 years and we are doers of it, you should be able to apply that same wisdom. But my question is, what are you doing? If you are sitting and doing nothing, just like they say in any other situation outside of the church, you are a part of the problem. Now, I'm not saying that you are a problem. I'm saying this is where anybody, any church body needs to be. I got to calm down, okay? Here's the truth. Here's the truth. When I look at my life and I look at the men that have impacted me and have shared their word in my life, it's more than just one man. There are a lot of men in this church who I can testify of how they've shaped me and molded me. And some of them may not even know how they do it. I've been here since I was 14. I'm now 34. I think I'm the age that Big Randall was when he first started pastoring here. Okay? And there has been a lot of men who have impacted my life. I'll start from the beginning. Donnie Tippin served with his wife as my youth leaders when I first started here. Donnie was a quiet man for the most part, but Donnie always had wisdom. Donnie always was willing to testify, and he always knew what to say in those moments. He did what God called him to do. He spoke wisdom when it was time to speak wisdom. He spoke truth when it was time to speak truth. And he stood on what was right when it was time to stand on right. Okay? I remember as a youth kid at church camp, we were acting fools one day. Man, he jumped our tails. We deserved it. Okay? That was love. And I start maturing. I start growing up. There was a time in my life where I was struggling, where I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. I needed guidance. And David London was there. And David impacted me. And David showed me God's words. And David had mercy on me. And David supported me. There's moments in my life where Willie has ministered to me, where Willie has spoken truth, stuff I didn't want to hear in my flesh, but in reality, it was God's truth that I needed to hear in that moment. Then I grow up as an adult, and there's people still impacting me. Jake Culver challenges me and Bible thumps me all the time, and it drives me insane. But it's what I need to grow and to mature. And he'll send me a mile-long text message, and it'll take me a month to figure it out, and then I finally answer it, and he sends me another one. It's like, ah! But that's what he's called to do. And I could go around. There's all kind of other men that have impacted me in that way. If the body is functioning that manner, if we are doing that, you'd be surprised at how quickly you want to see strong, you want to see true union. Spend time in relationship and in fellowship. I had a man in my life. Let me read the scripture first. I'll come back to it. I got to stay focused here, okay? All right, so John 17:14-24. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be made one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The best scriptural representation of how we can share the love and show who God is to the world is through us as a body united as one. No matter how you look at it. Jesus prayed for Cedar Creek a long, long time ago that we would be united as one so that the world, even though the world hates us, even though the world hates the truth we stand on because they hate God, they will still see us as one and they will see and know that God is truly living among us because of how we move as a church body. Okay? All of the scripture goes back to Jesus praying. And so, this is how I kind of want to end with this, okay? So when you look at this, there's many different ways you can apply it. And the first thing I want to start with is as an individual. In any church situation, the first responsibility of you in your prayer life is between you and the Lord. No man can feed off the prayer life of his wife. I know that there are a lot of women that may be in this church that you pray continuously. You do what the Bible says. You pray steadfastly. You do as Proverbs 31 instruction to, and you pray for your husband. Some of our women may be going, God, I just wish that you would move my husband to pray like you've called him to. And that's why I challenge men first. Be the spiritual warriors, be the spiritual leaders that you have been called to be. The greatest prayer of every family should be the man. The person that's on their knees more than anyone should be the husband, the father. because you carry the greatest spiritual burden and spiritual responsibility of the entire family. I would hate to think that there comes a time where I stand before God and my children are doomed to hell because I was so focused on all these worldly provisions, all these things that I had to get done, that I neglected praying for my children and their future. Now, I go back to the story of my mother-in-law. Just kind of, I want to tell you about her. I kind of skipped her. I need to come back to her. She told us the other day while we were having lunch of how much time that she devoted to praying for her daughter Eric and her son Tate, that number one, that they would be saved, but that they would find a godly spouse. They prayed from the very early stages of their lives, praying for that. Of course, I made the joke, I'm an answered prayer, boo. Okay. Her response was, you're my mom's answered prayer. I don't know how to take that, but I'm an answered prayer, okay? But the deal was, is it really impacted me? Because I thought, have I been praying for my daughters in that same way? Have I been praying for my daughters that they would find a godly husband that would love God first, would love her second, and would lead them according to God's will and God's plan? That wouldn't be consumed by this world, wouldn't be consumed by money, wouldn't be consumed by all the things that he thinks he has to get done, but foremost and most importantly, chases after the will of God each and every day. That's the man I want to marry my daughters. I don't care how much money that guy's got. Right. Do not care. What I care is he going to lead my daughters in the way of the Lord as he is called to by God. And talking about the women providing wisdom. That was my mother-in-law providing that wisdom. Still teaching me, even though I'm an adult, and I think me and Eric, we can do it on our own. We don't need you. Still teaching us. Still planting that word in our soul, in our lives. Wives, I know that your husbands carry great burdens as being leaders of the household. I know sometimes that you may feel that they may be failing. You may feel that they need support. A lot of times you're probably the Holy Spirit speaking to them. I know Erica is many a times where she speaks truth to me and I need to hear it. Continue to pray for your husbands. Continue to pray for them. Continue to be obedient to lifting them up, that God would make them the men that they are called to be, the leaders that they are called to be, that they were not just hearers of the word. They're not just going on and sitting on their tushies doing nothing, justifying why they don't because of all the things that they have going on in their life, but that they seek God and lead you and lead your children as God has called them to do. Husbands, pray for your wives. Pray for your wives. They carry a great responsibility with loving and raising and nurturing of your children. You don't believe that that's a great responsibility. Ask some of these men who have gone through tragic divorces and have had to raise children on their own, the difficulty of it. We have to be united as one, as a marriage in prayer. Okay? When you actually study prayer and you study it between the husband and the wife, you know, and you look at how it's called to pray, it always brings it back that they are called together as one. They are united as one. Therefore, when they pray as one. Any situation in my life where I pray for God's direction, any answer he gives me, and I know it's God's answer, he gives that same answer to her. If there is any separation, if there is any division, it's usually because one of us or both of us are focused on our flesh and we're not clearly hearing from God. But I will tell you this, anytime that God has truly spoken, he spoke the same truth to both of us, 100%. Okay? And then I even got some stuff that I want you to think about, okay? When I look at people here, okay? I went back and I looked at people that have studied, that have prayed, okay? Daniel was a prayer warrior who prayed three times a day. You actually look at the times that Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed three times a day specifically, all right? He continued to pray throughout it. But he prayed at 3 a.m., 9 a.m., 3 a.m., okay? Most of us can't do that. 3 a.m., 9 a.m., 6 p.m. He set designated times in his day to pray. When you look at Daniel and you go, man, that's awesome, yeah. Daniel also believed in the Lord in the times of facing the lion, stood his ground, stood on God's word, didn't back off, was thrown in the lion's den, was spared. I bet he wasn't able to do that if he didn't have that consistent relationship in prayer. David, man after God's own heart, was steadfast in prayer through most of his times. And the big mistake that he made when he fell into temptation with Bathsheba is when he wasn't in consistent fellowship in prayer with the Lord. He got complacent. He got content. Anytime an individual, a family, or a church body comes content, gets relaxed, quits communicating with God, quits praying, gets focused on themselves, don't be surprised when the time comes, the devil goes, there's my gap. There's my hole. You think you've got it made? You think there's no worries? Everything's going great? Let me show you where you really are. The devil's always looking. Okay, so with that, here's some scriptures I want us to think about. I already read one, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You seek first in his word and through prayer. How can you know God's direction and purpose and will for your life if you are not communicating with him? We're just sitting around going, that door is just going to magically swing open one day. If I truly want to know what my wife is going through, what concern she has, or what's bugging, we have to be able to communicate. Erica always, I'll get upset. I'll be going through some trials or some struggles in my head, and I'll let it get all up in my head, and I'll just be like, she can see it on my face. I am losing my mind. There's like a war going on in there and going crazy. And she'll be like, talk to me. Let me hear it. You know when it says confess your sins one to another? That was that moment where she needed me to confess what was going on in my life. We have to be communicating. We have to be communicating in prayer. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first in prayer. And then you got the next verse. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Some of us have so many things in our lives we want answers to, we want direction on, but yet we fail to consistently pray and ask for God to move in it. We may ask one time, we may devote 5 minutes to it, and then God doesn't answer it in the next day or so, and we think, well, God, apparently God's not hearing me. Apparently God's not moving in my life, because he was, I would already have an answer. What was it? I don't want to get her name right. Was it Hannah that prayed for years for a child? Was it Hannah? Does anybody know? Sarah? Was it Sarah? Everybody's bouncing off. I don't know. Was it Sarah? One of them prayed for a long, both of them. One of them prayed for a long time to have a spouse. I mean, to have a child. Okay? It took years before that was answered. We, a lot of times, set a timeline on God's movement, God's answers. God doesn't answer this prayer now, and he's just not going to answer it. And so we pray it one time, and then we move on, and we forget. Sometimes, we just don't believe that God can or will answer it. I've struggled with that. We've all struggled with that. Lane's standing in the back of the church right now with her son, who she has prayed and begged and pleaded with God to heal him since the day he was diagnosed with what he has. And she continues to pray. He's still in that wheelchair. He's still struggling. He still fights for his life every day. And she still continues to pray. But here's the deal. She's praying for God's will. If God is to have him be in that situation, she prays that God uses him in a mighty way so that his condition is not there in vain, that there's purpose to it. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I got diabetes at 19 years old. I was mad at the world. I was healthy. I was strong. Things were going good. And then in a moment, I was brought to a mere weak nothing. I live with the need of having to have insulin provided me. I wear an insulin pump. I can be the most physical, fit, strong, healthy guy. I could look like Jake Culver. And without that insulin pump, I will die. As a godly believer, as a son of Jesus Christ who is filled with the Holy Spirit, without God, I can be as perfect as I think I am. I can be as strong as I think I am. I can go all the church services. I could think I'm a great speaker and great preacher. I could do whatever I want. And with apart from the Holy Spirit, I am nothing. And if I am nothing without him, you would think I would love him, be grateful enough to communicate with him on a daily basis. That is truth. The final thing I want to look at, okay? This is where I want to end. I know that most of this message has been about the church. It's been to believers. That's because that's just where my heart has been, okay? Us as a church body, I never want us to be this type of church body, okay? Has anybody ever seen Johnny Bravo? Right? Do we know Johnny Bravo? All right, some of you younger guys, I asked the youth if they knew who Johnny Bravo was, and they're like, who's Johnny Bravo? I was like, oh, my, I'm getting old. Okay, so then I had to draw a little, I showed them a little cartoon figure, okay? So if you don't know, Johnny Bravo was a cartoon. And that dude from waist up looked like Mr. Incredible. He was swole. He was ripped. He had the big shiny hair. He had the black sunglasses. He wore the tight shirts. And he just flexed his muscles. That is the American church today. They flex this arm, they go, we've got the great speaking. We got the great messages. They flex this arm. We got the great worship. We got the children's programs. We got all the great classes. We got Awanas. We have all this stuff. But then you look down at Johnny Bravo's legs, and some of you who go to the weight room, you've seen these guys. They got chicken legs. Johnny Bravo had chicken legs. All of this was big, strong, and beautiful, but what moved the body, prayer, what truly moved the body in the direction of God from one place to the other was the most neglected part of the body. What should be the strongest part of the body was the weakest because all the focus was on the show me muscles. A lot of you men know what I'm talking about. The American church has become that way where all the focus is on putting on a show and prayer is neglected. And when you truly study the scripture, God called the church together not to sit and be preached to, not to sit and hear, but to be doers, and we do in prayer. Amen. That is what God's called us to do. We want the well-rounded, muscled-up guy. We talked about him a few weeks ago. His name's Dwayne Walker, okay? He got muscled-up legs and muscled-up arms. He prays. He's going to whoop me later. Y'all just pray for me, okay? I encourage you, okay? For those of you that are here, your visitors, you're not sure about, maybe you're lost. Maybe you're not sure about God. Maybe you're not sure. You might be hearing this message and going, what's going on? This church body, okay? I believe this church body is strong. I believe this church body believes in God. But here's the deal. You look at any situation, even the greatest of greatest seek to grow, seek to change, and seek to where they need to improve. We as a body want to be more like God. We want to be more Christ-like. We want to be more united now than ever, and we're going to do that through prayer. We are going to do that praying together as a family. But it all started with the first day that we were saved. My walk, my unity with this church started first with my salvation. I got to a moment in my life where I knew that I was lost. I knew that I had sinned before God. I knew that my eternity was going to be hell apart from God. I knew he wanted greater for me. And when I finally got over my selfishness, my running from God and living like a complete fool, I repented of those sins. I acknowledged God as my Lord and my Savior. Here's the deal. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. My walk with him has grown stronger now since the beginning when I was first saved. And because of that, I believe in this church body. I believe in our purpose. I believe in what we are called to do. We are called to be doers. We are called to share the gospel. When the doors open, we are called to move, to enter, and to share the love of Christ as one, as God prayed for us to do years ago. Live for him, love him, serve him, pray, which means communicate with him. Okay? If you'll stand with your eyes closed. Please hear me with this. Any man can come up here and preach on prayer, and it means nothing if you walk out those doors and your prayer life ends there. If the next time you pray is next Sunday, you've missed what God has called you to do. Yep. Find that fire within you to wake up in prayer, to live your day in prayer, to end your night in prayer. Don't let your children go to bed without praying with them. Husbands, don't walk out that door without having the time to speak and to pray, and to pray with your wife. Wives, don't let him walk out that door. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will pass. Lord God, I thank you God, that you've just given us an opportunity to come, Lord. I pray that you continue to just move. I pray that your spirit leads us. You bring us to a place of repentance in areas, God, where we need change. God, where we need to grow, where we need to move, where we need to seek you. I pray that you just bring us on our knees to that place. God, that we are humbled enough to repent, to turn away, God, and to seek after you in the direction that you have called us to do. It's not about any one thing. It's not about any one person, God. It's about you. It's about the relationship with you. It's about seeking you and being a part of the mighty things that you are doing, God. We can all testify of what you've already done in our lives, God, but I know that you have a greater plan to do even more if we will simply be obedient to follow you and be the doer that you have called us to do, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you. In your name I pray.